Now more Tune Up with Deb, produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Let's send it back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Leah Drewcock. Leah is a licensed insolvency trustee with MNP, and we have been discussing consumer proposals. So just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the voting process and the actual process of filing a proposal. Curious, what happens if a creditor just flatly says no?
That's a good question, because we do see that from time to time. You know, our best efforts are to formulate the proposal in such a way that it's beneficial to all parties. But there are creditors who won't like what is being put to them, so they'll vote against. And a vote against does not mean that the proposal is tanked and it's going to fail. Again, it is a majority rules. So there's, for example, a minority creditor votes no. If all the other creditors vote yes, well, that minority creditor now has to be dragged along through the process, and they have to go along with the majority. But if a couple of minority creditors vote no, and in the end they add up to be more than 50% of the creditors voting against, then we have to go back to the individual and say, look, the majority of your creditors don't like this offer. Here's what they're suggesting, because they very rarely say no and don't have a counter offer. They almost always come back and say, well, if you're offering $250 a month, we feel like you should be able to afford $300 or $350. And we'll tell that individual, this is what the creditors are looking for. What do you think? Are you willing to meet that counteroffer? Do you want to meet them somewhere in the middle? And we do that negotiating for them. We just communicate that to them. So, and we would never accept a negotiated counteroffer from a creditor without first discussing it with the individual.
Now, the debtor doesn't have a responsibility to contact the creditor directly, do they?
No. In fact, we recommend they don't, because the whole purpose of coming to see us and having us add that professionalism to the process is to reduce their stress. So we are the ones that are doing that negotiation on their behalf.
And now, just to remind listeners, the creditor calls have stopped at this process, correct?
They're supposed to have, yes.
Okay, and it does take a little time for that information to funnel through all of the various collection agencies and all of the various agents at their computers, but that is the intent. The collection calls have stopped, so there's no more communication between debtor and creditor at this point.
I like to refer to it as a cooling off period. So the individual files the proposal, we give notice to the creditors, and there's a 45-day... deep breath. Let's let the creditors mull this over. The individual isn't getting calls anymore, and they're simply managing one monthly payment rather than scrambling to pay all their minimum payments. So at the end of 45 days, we tally the votes, and we know whether that proposal is accepted or whether we have some more negotiating to do.
I imagine that that can be quite challenging for clients to take that really deep breath while they're still anticipating this 45-day voting window, that they may be a little bit on pins and needles, but that deep breath can happen after they hear back from you after the 45 days have gone through and all your votes are counted.
I find that the first counseling session that the individual is required to attend has to be completed within 60 days. I rarely will provide that first counseling until we know that the proposal is accepted, because I want the individual to be able to focus their energy on rebuilding credit, on fresh start and rehabilitation. But if they're sitting in the counseling session wondering, has my proposal even been accepted? I don't feel that they're benefiting as much from that.
They're just not in that frame of mind. No, they're waiting to exhale.
That's right.
So now, what options do I have if my consumer proposal is not accepted by creditors?
So if we get to the majority saying no and we can't negotiate an acceptable compromise, sometimes it's the individual can't offer anymore. Sometimes it's the creditors aren't willing to accept what's being offered. There are a couple of choices. The proposal will not be accepted, and the individual can consider filing a personal bankruptcy at that time. The individual could actually file another consumer proposal. We don't see this very often because the person doesn't want to go through the stress of the voting process again. However, if we know there was a creditor that was going to accept and they just didn't get their vote in on time, we will recommend that they try again, and we'll do that for them. But they won't be protected from collection calls for the second proposal filing until it has been accepted. So again, that's more of a rare thing that we see happening. More often than not, the individual has resigned themselves to the fact that if their proposal is not accepted, sort of the next step is a bankruptcy. But they're not obligated to, and it's not automatic.
But it is interesting to note that the creditors have looked at the details that you have provided to them, the payments, the assets, the liabilities, and a snapshot of the client's situation. And if they deem that this isn't workable, that should be kind of a message to the client that maybe this was kind of helping them dodge that bullet, because maybe it was too much for them.
There's two ways of looking at it, I think. One is that the proposal put forth wasn't reasonable or viable, in that they couldn't make the payment based on their budget, or it wasn't enough to make it worth the creditor's while. So maybe you're right. By having the creditors vote against the proposal, it can be a bit of an eye-opener. But I say you got to give it your best try. And I think filing a proposal when possible is what we should be doing, rather than going straight to a bankruptcy.
So let's talk about flexibility then. Is there flexibility in a proposal as opposed to a bankruptcy? Can you just talk to us about that whole flexibility process?
Absolutely. I think proposals have a lot of flexibility built into them. First and foremost, you're the one as the individual making that offer. So you're offering an amount that you feel is affordable, as long as it's better than bankruptcy. But the other thing is, once the proposal is accepted, if your circumstances change for the better, for example, and you wanted to increase your payment, you don't have to pay more than the proposal was offering, but you can pay it out sooner. You can make lump sum payments. You can increase your monthly payments to accelerate the time that you're going to pay the proposal off. You can increase your payment, then decrease it again to the amount that was originally offered. So there is that flexibility. The other thing is there's something called an amended proposal. And this is an option available where an individual files a proposal and their circumstances change and they're no longer able to meet that proposal payment. If that happens, we look at their circumstances, and if there's been a permanent change in their circumstances where they can no longer manage the proposal payment, we may consider doing a bankruptcy, but there's that option of amending the proposal for a lower amount and putting it back to the creditors for a vote. And that allows us flexibility, and they are still protected during that process.
So how long does the consumer proposal last on average, or can you give us some scenarios that would give us an idea of the time frame of a consumer proposal?
So the longest consumer proposal is 5 years or 60 months. It cannot exceed that time. There's no extensions past 5 years. However, you could do a lump sum consumer proposal, and it could be one payment. You have two financial counseling sessions, and you could be done in as little as 5 or 6 months. But typically, 3 to 5 years is what we're seeing.
Typically, 3 to 5 years. And, you know, you think about a five-year time frame. And if I look back 5 years and how much my life has changed in a five-year time frame, it's kind of baffling, actually.
It is.
There's been a lot of changes in the last 5 years.
You could think of it as a long period of time, or in terms of versus me paying my credit cards off in minimum payments and taking 60 years. Well, five sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Like different perspectives. But when we look forward 5 years, so much can change in a five-year process.
Yes.
So having the consumer proposal and the flexibility of the consumer proposal very much is in line with looking forward 5 years. And you just, no one has the crystal ball. We have no idea what the next 5 years is going to bring us.
No, and it can be scary thinking, you know, if my income's changing, how much is this going to cost me? Because in a bankruptcy, the more money you make, the more it's going to cost you and the longer the process can take. Whereas in a proposal, once we have a negotiated settlement that is accepted, all the parties are bound by that. So if the individual a year into their proposal has an increase in their income or a windfall and they are able to pay their proposal out quicker, they can, but they don't have to. If their circumstances improve and they're making more money, they can set that money aside in savings rather than putting it towards debt repayment.
Let's talk about the rehabilitation process, because savings is a huge part of financial security and financial health. So we go through the proposal process. We've been paying a certain amount of money every month. Let's say that there were no drastic improvements in the life lifestyle and job style, all of that. So there's a, say, a $500 payment that's been going to the consumer proposal. At the end of the proposal, it feels like found money.
A lot of people are so worried about how they're going to be paying this amount every single month for 5 years. But we do encourage savings throughout the process. But the best part is at the very end, when that individual receives their certificate of completion, they're used to paying this amount every single month. And now they can start paying themselves.
Yeah, that's a beautiful part of the rehabilitation process. Again, to have your savings as the priority as opposed to debt payment.
Absolutely.
So what happens if proposal payments are missed?
So there is a little bit of protection built into the proposal process, and it's called the deemed annulment provision. And what it means is an individual can miss up to 3 payments before their proposal's annulled. But as soon as 3 payments are now in arrears or in default, that proposal's annulled and the individual's proposal's no longer active. But we do see times where somebody has an emergency and they're unable to make their payment on time. As long as they are catching up on that payment, say in the next month, no harm, no foul. If they become 2 payments behind, as a trustee myself, I become concerned because I know how hard it is to catch up two missed payments. Whether you're paying $100 a month or $500 a month, that's what you budgeted. So if now you can't manage that, it's going to be pretty hard to pay twice that much in the third month. So I like to look at that situation as an opportunity to revisit the budget, revisit the financial circumstances, and determine, is this still the best option for you, or should we be reconsidering a bankruptcy? Maybe it is the best option. This was a temporary change, and you feel confident you can get caught up, then we keep trucking along. But if not, we do have some flexibility. And just like in a bankruptcy, but even more important in a proposal, is communication. Always communicate with your trustee. If you're struggling to make those payments, don't just let your payment bounce and start incurring NSF charges. Pick up the phone, send an email, talk to your trustee.
Well, let's talk about picking up the phone. What is your contact phone number, Leah?
Nice segue, Debbie. Well, anyone in Canada can call 310-DEBT, and wherever they're calling from, they will be directed to the appropriate office. Or locally, you can call 250-596-4901.
Thanks again for your time, Leah.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we will chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.